to all our listeners out there. You're with the Other Movie Guys. My name is Trace.
Oh, hey, man.
Chime in whenever you like. Yeah, no worries. And we've got Arne on the other side of this fantastic feature.
Yeah.
Now, Arne, how's your week been, mate? You been good?
Good.
Or multiple weeks. We haven't spoken in a long time.
Yeah, it's been good.
Now,
up until we decided to fucking watch this movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was great.
Because I know you and I, like, you know, we get excited for the next podcast, at least I do, once we get one over with.
Mm-hmm.
And we always have this running joke like, oh, let's do Cats, you know, let's review Cats. Only because it's such a derelict, disgusting film, even though I haven't watched it. You've watched it?
I haven't.
You haven't?
I'm curious, though.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how bad it is. Like, you want to have a taste at what bad is.
But at the same time, I don't want to, like, sit here with you and just absolutely fucking tear ass on a movie for like 20 minutes.
Definitely, because like, that would be terrible.
Because I'm not an expert. Like, who am I to crush anybody's dreams?
That's right. And there's a lot of people that go into making any movie. Doesn't matter how low budget it is. There's many people, and like people who've been passionate about writing a film or even acting in a film. So, yeah, we don't want to crush too hardly.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do need to crush hard.
Oh, this movie
is a shocker. And not only that, though, when we were talking about this movie, how we're going to review it, I was excited because the premise is such a great idea, a sort of dystopian future society that's about to have a nationwide.
You should tell the viewers signal. What this movie is.
What's the movie? Huh?
It's The Last Days of American Crime.
The Last Days of American Crime.
I can see why Netflix hasn't been promoting this movie.
I mean, why would you want to? But like,
yeah, so you were right about the dystopian setting. And it does have a very interesting premise about sort of like it. The only thing this has going for it is its premise. I mean, it is sort of like a melting pot doomsday clock.
Yeah, it's
sort
like,
of premise.
It's a heist film. It's a dystopian film. It's a gangster film.
Mm-hmm.
All in one, and
It does none of it.
None of it. Wow.
Well, like just it's absolutely trash. Don't get me wrong. Like there is some notes, as in, okay, so
there's some stardust in there.
Yeah, there's some notes. Like so the first scenes, the starting scenes, it does this thing where it sort of conditions you for the rest of the movie.
Yes.
You think, you know, The Quiet Place, how well that opening scene does it, and it sets you up for the rest of the movie. Unfortunately, the opening scene just makes promises that the movie can't cash. It is just empty.
It's empty. It's like none of the actors really cared about their role in this film.
Oh, yeah.
I guess because that shows through all the character development. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere.
It's sort of bogged down by the characters.
Because originally you think your main protagonist is Graham Brick. But it's not the case, is it? Because the narrator over the top, who we find out is Shelby Dupree, at the beginning there's a narrator.
That's the...
is the true heroine of this film.
Femme fatale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? So it's got a mismatch of like, you're following this one guy who you think you're rooting for, but the true heroine is...
It's really arguable. But we'll get into it.
Okay.
First, we'll set the story up.
Yeah.
If you want to sort of set that up.
Yeah, so the story is basically a group of, I call them thugs and gangsters, a collective, are trying to basically get in one last heist.
Before the 5G towers come up.
The API. Yeah, the 5G towers come up and basically puts an end to any mischievous behavior by locking out the prefrontal cortex of human beings' brains, apparently.
Listen, I'm not going to really care about spoilers too much because I don't think anybody should be watching this
Definitely
movie.
Not.
Yeah, so we're just going to talk pretty freely.
Yeah, as we always do.
Yeah.
We're free-minded. We don't have any mind control here.
Listen, I do like the premise. Like the whole graphic novels have a great way of world building. Like we've had some really great graphic novel movies in the past. And it's always been that thing that I've sort of inkling to. Because once upon a time, you know, not everything was Marvel. You know, there were some great adaptations out there, like, you know, Watchmen, Snowpiercer, Sin City, 300.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Yep. A History of Violence is a good one, if you've never seen it.
No.
Road to Perdition is a good one as well. So there's been there's been a fair few sort of Ghost in the Shell.
Yes.
So there's been a fair few great graphic novel movies, The Matrix, holy shit.
Yes.
Graphic novel movies. So I'm always sort of interested in it.
It's a good selling point to say that this film is based on a graphic novel because there's been so many good remakes.
Yeah.
And you're right, that is what sort of jumps at you with this film. It sounds like it's going to be an action-packed thriller, right?
Yeah, you think it's not. This is directed by Olivier Megaton. I don't know if that's how you say it right. And you might know him from Taken 2, Taken 3, Transporter 3. So he's really done only sort of like expansion packs to movies. And I know it's a meme, but like I think this guy's like single-handedly ruined those sort of super jump cuts in action sequences, because we all know the meme of sort of Liam Neeson going over the fence and it takes like 11 different takes to do it. And I'm pretty sure he ruined it for everybody.
But I mean, is there anything wrong with having so many cuts?
Yeah. Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know, because when I edit this, I'm going to be pulling that clip of Liam Neeson climbing.
Yeah.
It's going to look trash.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's terrible. I think it's a cheap gimmick. It sort of gives that illusion that movement took place when nothing really happened.
Yeah.
You know? Megaton's work. You know he loves that cheapy, shitty supercut edits that go nowhere. To his credit, though, this movie is a little more focused, and there isn't a lot of that. That's
yeah, you're right. The only time he starts chopping extravagantly is during the car chase scene, really.
Yeah, but it even then he severely toned back in comparison
to Liam Neeson jumping a fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having said that, that's about where it stopped. Like, that's it.
I think that's also
the only positive I really got.
Another moment in which I was like, oh, this is getting good, is when we first meet Kevin Cash as well. To me, his initial entrance into the film was, you know, powerful. I'm like, oh, he's a bad guy. He's someone deranged and psychopathic and strong.
Yep.
But then it turns out he's...
Overstays is welcome.
He's a weak daddy's boy or something like that. Just, he's out for...
He's just a dude with problems, man.
Yeah.
He's so annoying by the hour mark.
Yes.
I've had enough, dude. I don't know what he's doing. Like, this movie, like, everything about this movie kicks off in third gear. And then it just doesn't go anywhere. Like, when you first meet the girl, the femme fatale.
Shelby Dupree.
Shelby Dupree, that's it.
It's such a jolting experience. And,
yeah.
Like, and also you find that like, the intimacy between the sex scenes are sort of very, like, off-putting. And not at all sexy. It's almost not. Rapey and it's grungy. It's,
all right, we'll go from... So the story itself. We'll talk about the story. Yeah. Now, it's not much of an action movie. There's barely any action in it. And it's not even much of a heist movie. I honestly think the only crime committed is that it took 2.5 hours to tell this fucking story.
I agree, man. It's 2.5 hours.
Of time.
And the thing is, Jesus. You don't even care for these characters because they're all selfish individuals.
Yeah, but, like, there's so many, like, parts that, like, left me confused. Like, it, you know how... Spoilers, right? Spoilers.
Yeah. Needless to say.
The girl is an informant for the FBI.
Yes, she is. Yes.
This is the part that confuses me. If she's informing to the FBI, but she planned the heist herself and recruited all these people to do it, isn't she just, like... kind of informing on herself.
Don't the FBI want Kevin Cash? And that's the only reason why she's there?
Yeah, they have an interest in Kevin Cash.
And all they do is kill Kevin.
Yeah. And, it's like, and I'm like, well, why did you need to have this elaborate thing to begin with?
And especially if you're going to put out a signal that's going to stop everything from happening anyway.
Yeah.
So she's there to inform Kevin Cash and...
Yeah, but she plans this heist in order to get him caught. But they ended up
It's odd.
It's a weird story element that doesn't really go anywhere.
Exactly.
And the greatest sin about that sort of story thread, which we'll get into the other story threads that don't lead anywhere.
Right.
The biggest sin is that the main character, Brick, he finds out really early on that she is talking to the FBI and she's clued them in on the heist. And you think, okay, this is like a big heist moment where he's going to play some 4D chess moves. and like tie off all these loose ends and still pull off the heist like most heist movies do. Like, because nothing goes smooth. There's complications to get right. But he doesn't do anything differently. He doesn't. They still do the heist planned, and he doesn't change the plan at all. It's so weird.
It was so disjointed, this film. I had so many times where I was just like, I was zoning out. I was on my phone. Yeah, I was not involved.
That's why I'm talking to you about it. Just
I really took as much attention as you. You sound like you got more of this film than I did.
I was like, what? Did I miss something? And then I'll do the dumb thing and rewind a little bit, thinking that I missed something, no, I didn't. This is just as stupid as I thought it would be.
Like when Ross, the character Ross, comes into play up, you know, I'm like, who is this guy? What's he all about? And then the whole premise of Graham Brick was like, oh, he's my insurance. He's like just another guy.
He's just, yeah.
Oh, and he dies just as quickly as he comes in almost.
There's this, all right, I'm just going to get the ending out of the way.
Yeah.
So the big twist to this, which is like severely, this is where it all sort of crumbles at your feet.
Right.
This is like, dude, if this movie had a face, I would piss on it.
Yeah.
This is where it all goes to shit. So the twist is that you can beat this system. Like it can be beaten. You just have to be a sociopath.
You don't have to have any morals. You don't have any idea of what good and right evil and is, right or wrong.
I'm like, but this is the part that really irks me, is that why would you roll out a system that you know that only sociopaths can beat? Like, wouldn't that be like the most idiotic thing you could ever do? And not only did you know, like, you did the experiment and you got this result from Kevin that he could beat it because he's a sociopath, and then you rolled it out anyway.
So, such a good point.
I'm like, so the biggest sort of twist to this movie is its biggest flaw.
Yeah.
Dude, if I wrote this movie, I would have some fucking explaining.
Why did they write this movie? What's it about?
I haven't read the graphic novel, but I've got to be certain that the graphic novel's great.
Yeah, okay.
Because why else would you greenlight a movie for it?
But if the graphic novel was so great and coherent, wouldn't this film be coherent? This is an incoherent bit of rubbish.
Yes, man, everybody that's sort of on the side of Brick really needs a fucking cheeseburger. They're all from Kevin to his mates to who runs the...
I'm surprised at how far Brick could drive a truck with his whole entire midsection blown out with a shotgun. I'm so far
how long he lasted in this movie having the one expression on his face the whole time. Like, whether he's eating, drinking, fucking, it doesn't matter. He's just got this pouty, broody look on his face no matter what. I don't know if it was his choice or the director, but someone really fucked up. Like, if I wrote this movie, I would have some serious explaining to do. Not to, like, executives or people going to fund my next movie. Just to my loved ones and family.
Definitely. Yeah, who you have to actually explain this to. How it made it on Netflix, and I saw for a period of time it was number two, and I've seen a lot of people talking about, like, oh, this thing's getting trashed and, like, still people are watching it. Like, those numbers don't mean anything. You can click on a tile and watch a movie, at the end of a go, that was horrific.
I'm certain that Netflix will greenlight anything.
It seems like they would.
I seem like it. Like, I don't know how they're doing it, but like it's obviously some stoner bro, and if you catch him on a Friday afternoon, you're fucking good to go. You know?
Yeah, man.
It's bad. And then we need to talk about the only good actor in this is Shelton Coby.
Okay.
The cop.
You reckon?
He's the only good actor. Notable actor. He's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, okay.
Chooses his movies via dartboard, though.
Okay, yeah.
Some weird shit.
He's your favorite?
Yeah, like, ever since I saw him in District 9, I've been a big fan of him.
I suppose you're right. That the scene where he has to shoot the thug that comes in and breaks into the police, that was a pretty good scene.
Yeah. His storyline, wow, what the hell was the point of that?
Just a guy who's there.
Like, I thought that they were going somewhere with this.
Maybe it was trying to show, like, how corrupt the police force was.
But I thought that this would play a part because... So we see people getting chipped.
Yes.
To beat the system.
Mm-hmm.
The resident femme fatale happens to be, like, a crazy good hacker.
Mm.
Right? And then she's also in close with the guy that invented this whole thing as well. So I thought that they were gearing up for a way to beat the system, because that's what it looked like. All the plays, all the tiles were in place. No, it didn't. It didn't go anywhere.
It was so much easier to override your own.
You could literally cut a lot of this movie out and not miss a beat.
Yeah, good point.
Like, wow. But yeah, I didn't really get the whole cop dynamic.
Yeah, I guess it was to show, like, that the government is sort of corrupt or whatever. But also what I'm thinking during this entire thing is, like, you're in a dystopian society. Everyone's pretty much a criminal. Why wouldn't the government want to try and control criminals?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Is it... Yeah, it's, like, so it's stupid.
It's just stupid. And I'm the biggest... Like, watching movies is my favorite sort of...
Pastime.
It's my favorite thing to do. So I'm never sort of stuck up about the movies I watch. Like, I'm happy to sit there and buy into any premise that they throw at me. You know, you want to have a car race to the death televised? Fine, I'll watch it. You want to have a martial arts tournament, you know, for the fate of mankind? Yes. You want to even go even crazy and have, like, a romantic comedy starring Seth Rogen as Charlize Theron, and make it believable. I'm in for that shit too.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one,
but make it good, make it coherent, make it make sense, believable,
and not insulting.
Yeah,
you know, like I think the worst thing that irks me as well is having the protagonist be so passive. He doesn't really do anything that affects the plot. So anything that's cool about him happens off screen. You know how you see moments in which he's gone on this, like, crazy war path, but you never get to see him do any action. He's always walking away from the destruction and shit that he's left behind.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, so you want us to think he's a badass, but you gotta show us. You gotta show us the things that he's doing. Like, you know, when he saves Anna Brewster from Lonnie.
Yes.
Yeah. And it sort of...
Chokes the guy out. Yeah,
but he walks through the building and it's sort of... In the trail, he's left this, like, crazy death and destruction, and it's meant to be like he came in there and he did a whole
bunch of things.
He did a whole, you know, Chris Hemsworth from Extraction.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't see it. It's everything's done off camera, and the only things that are on camera are him being very, like, passive. Like, he lets people dictate how this story is to go. He doesn't have any sort of effect.
Yeah, sure, but I feel like the only person that has any real skin in the game is Shelby Dupree, because she's actually genuinely trying to save her sister,
yeah,
who's being held captive by the FBI.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
So I feel like she's playing everyone else to get to the thing that's truly real and purposeful.
I should have definitely watched it like that.
And everyone else is purely just selfish. Brick's only out for revenge. Kevin Cash only wants to fuck over his father.
Yeah.
These guys are duplicitous and they're all scumbags, and she surrounds herself with them to get to her sister. That's how I sort of see it.
That's actually a better way to look at it. I was still watching it by the very end, still looking at Brick
as the guy.
Protagonist.
To me, he's just muscle. He's just a pawn in the game, even though the whole film is
featured around him.
Exactly. But it's this weird undercurrent where actually Shelby Dupree is the true heroine. So she has true purpose.
Yeah. She has the only relatable goal.
Definitely.
That.
Because I guess, does Brick get his revenge? Like, Brick doesn't really get his revenge.
He doesn't get nothing, man. He.
It's all taken away from him. but that's how I see it.
I normally don't care about runtimes when it comes to streaming movies.
Yeah.
I don't care because I'll just watch it in chunks.
Yeah.
Because I learned that from watching The Irishman. You know, how it was shot in chapters.
Yes.
So I could just, like, I watch it over the span of 3 days. Fantastic. Awesome. But this one is where I draw the line.
Man, I can't.
I can't. Even watching it in chunks is painful.
Painful. I watched it over two 1 hour periods or whatever. And that was just absolutely brutal. 2.5 hours on this is... I mean, it's like writing a 10-page essay when you only need to write two.
Yeah, but it's just but utilizing words that don't mean anything.
Exactly. Yes. Really padding it out.
Flim-flam. Because I think the script is almost designed for you not to care about anybody. Like, I just don't care. And I definitely see your point about Anna Brewster.
Yeah, yeah. Shelby Dupree, yeah.
The issue is that their dialogue with each other, it really just boils down to almost teen Twitter arguments of them going through a phase of trying to be cool. It's just so surface level.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm so cool because of this.
Yes.
Like, I get it if you're 15, but like...
Yeah, it's low grade, man.
It's funny because I was talking to a mate about the main character, and I was like, man, it looks like if you actually watch it like we are now.
Yeah.
If you actually watch it, it looks like in every scene they cut him in, like right beforehand, he read a Nicholas Sparks book and fucking sucked a lemon. Like, look, every time they cut to his face... It's just, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. He's only got the one thing to do.
Yeah. Kevin Cash is doing his best Matthew Lillard impression from Hackers. fucking terrible. And the other sort of villain, Lonnie.
Yeah.
You know, the discount Russell Crowe. He thinks he's in fucking Mad Max. He's fucked up, man. Jesus Christ. I've seen better performances in fucking porn parodies, dude. This is not good.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, you want to bet?
Yeah.
Look at him.
God, I know.
Fucking look at him.
Yeah, it's bad. How many vacuous black holes would you give this?
I'm not going to even rate this one, man.
You can't rate it.
I can't rate it.
That's how bad it is. The only thing
I can say is it comes with a strong recommendation not to watch it.
Or a strong recommendation to watch it just so you can appreciate even a low-grade film.
But I don't... The thing is, like, even a low-grade film, there is aspects I can recommend. Like, if you wanted to sit there, drink piss with your mates and rip on a movie, and that's fun for you to do, that's fine, and I can recommend. But this one is 2.5 hours, and there's no fun to be had. It's just really stupid, and it's insulting to your face.
It is insulting.
It's someone taking a shit in your eyes for 2.5 hours. Man. How could it be... How can I recommend this to anybody?
You don't want to recommend. You want to burn this.
Like, the only people that would like this movie is if this is the first movie they've ever watched. That's all I can say, man.
Will this go down in history as one of the worst streamed movies ever?
It won't. No, because I think...
Do you reckon people just forget about it?
Netflix has an exceptionally low bar in which they greenlight their movies. There's a very low bar that you have to clear to get a Netflix deal, and I think that it could be more to come.
Dude, you know what I really want after this film? I want cinemas to reopen. I want to go watch something worthwhile.
Yeah, dude.
Right?
You know what, like...
I mean, what's the last film that we've done that you've really enjoyed?
Oh, like...
I know what it is for me. It was Uncut Gems for me. I think that's the best one we've done so far.
1917.
Yeah,
I enjoyed watching that. Yeah. I enjoyed watching that movie. Hey,
it's a hell of a lot better than this.
Oh, anything's a lot better than that. Dude, I could point to you a piece of drying dog turd on my garden right now, and this is better than this. Like, this is nothing. There were so many moving pieces that it just amounted to nothing. There's no payoff in anything. Characters, dialogues, the plot points, there's no payoff. Yeah, it's just a big disappointment. And if we didn't have to do this for the podcast...
Mm.
I would have switched it off at the 40-minute mark.
Never
to return.
That deep?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I would have never to return. Everything, I agree. Like, by the time I could see up to here, for all you don't know, we have the movie going on in the background.
Yeah.
By the time it got to this point and I realized nothing meaningful was going to be gained.
Just switch it off.
100%. Save you the trouble, man.
Do not waste an ounce of your life on this film.
No.
Last Days of American Crime, Last Days of American Cinema.
Oh, and special thanks to the two people that have favorited us.
Very much so. If you'd like, you can email us at theothermovieguys@gmail.com and just request anything. We can shout out your names or whatever.
Yeah.
Have fun.